Hello, cargo fans. This is Jeffrey Aaron, and welcome to today's Flying Talkers. Thought we'd start out today with a story of hope. It's the season of hope. Christmastide 2021. Met a man a couple of years ago, had a luncheon in Frankfurt, Germany, a pilot named Foco Doyen. I'd heard of this guy out of his charitable work. He was the chief pilot at that time of Lufthansa Cargo, in charge of a whole bunch of pilots that were flying airplanes all over the place, building the air cargo industry. I'll have that story for you. A great story. Story of hope. Right after this. Once again, thanks for joining us. We're very glad you're here. Today's Flying Talkers is brought to you by Colli Logistics. When it comes to keeping things moving, it's Colli, by golly. The global air cargo industry is a sunrise sector. You don't believe that? Look out at the ramp. There are thousands of airplanes carrying nothing but air cargo these days, where in past years it was in the belly, or maybe it wasn't there at all. The volume of air cargo being moved ever increasing, and airports are finding it difficult to keep pace with expansion in terms of infrastructure, workforce, and level of automation. An end-to-end web-based air freight software or an air cargo management system can assist cargo terminal operators to address these issues. At Colli Logistics Solutions, we understand these issues well and constantly strive to provide solutions that can address these problems, promising improvement and efficiency of the operation, as well as increasing bottom line results. Colli Logistics Solutions' suite of air freight software solutions to address the challenges of air cargo stakeholders have stemmed from working alongside leading airports, including Atlanta, Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, and other locations around the world, gaining in-depth understanding of the challenges and opportunities that define the air cargo domain. Colli's flagship air cargo management system provides state-of-the-art technology for modernization and streamlining of air cargo operations that could assist all stakeholders in overcoming the challenges. Yes, today in 2021, it's Colli, by golly. We're back. Cargo Human Care and the Greater Good might be the title of this story. Captain of the Clouds, the great Foco Doyen of Lufthansa Cargo, who serves as chief cargo pilot there until he stepped down from the left seat to devote all of his free time to serve as president of Cargo Human Care to raise the lot of desperately poor children in Kenya. Today, Foco's retired from flying commercially, but he continues as the president of Cargo Human Care, spending even more of his time at this greatest, most selfless outreach, driven by air cargo pilots at Lufthansa and cargo people that donate to help from all over the world. Foco and I met a couple of years ago at lunch over in Frankfurt, Germany. It's just one of those times where you're trying to look for some background stories, and I'd heard about this guy from several different sources, what a terrific individual he was. So it was a wonderful couple of hours that we sat in an outside sidewalk cafe, didn't know what to expect, drove up in a beautiful Mercedes convertible, not a new one, but a vintage one, very, very nice looking car. Figured, well, here comes another pilot. What a surprise. First things out of my mouth were, what's it like to be up in the wild blue yonder? And he looked at me and kind of smiled. He said, really, what I'm interested in talking about today are some desperately poor people in Kenya. Okay, well, listen, that's what I said at the top. But I wondered, you know, why would you want to put this kind of attention into charity? I know sometimes you throw some money against something and maybe that's enough. This is the chief pilot of Lufthansa Cargo, a couple, probably 200-300 people that he's in charge of. very well-to-do people, so forth, powerful people, pious are, in the airline scheme. Folco looked at me, said, "I just figured I'd look after some kids instead of the already pretty well-off pilots." So I spent the last few years flying, because I'm about to retire, the mandatory retirement's coming up. And I'm splitting that time between doing what I really love in the air, which is flying an airplane, which is why I got into this in the first place, but in between time with our children at Cargo Human Care in Nairobi, where I'm the president. I thought that was such an incredible thing to say. Totally unexpected. Well, a couple of days ago, he said something else. He said, "Right now we're over the moon after having just received a check from Lufthansa Cargo at O'Hare Airport for $5,200. That money helps us, as example, purchase refrigeration to enhance our ability to store vaccines to help even more people. I visited our projects in Nairobi last week, and I can tell you, everything's working fine. Our orphanage, Mother's Mercy Home, our John Kahaney residence, our medical center, and also Happy Child School, where we're teaching children. Unfortunately, you can't go everywhere over there. A couple of projects we have in northern Kenya and Marsabit, and some other things we couldn't get to, but we continue to support them and they're doing well. We couldn't go to our school, Wings Academy, nor the Bubisa Water Project, but those things happen. We know from our reports on the ground, as far as our commitments are concerned, all is well. The story broadens a bit. Bernard Kindelbacher, who serves as Vice President USA and Canada at Lufthansa Cargo, who was part of the effort to raise some money. And you know what they did it at? They did it at a holiday party. And you know what they probably couldn't have? No, I know they couldn't have for the past couple of years is a holiday party. Slowly but surely, step by step, inch by inch, here we come back again, just slowly but surely. Probably more in the United States and most other parts of the world, especially in Europe. Bernard said, "We had a great 2021 holiday party. It was made even greater at the same time by being able to raise $5,200, as we said, for the cause. Cargo Human Care extends children in Kenya a hand up for the future. We shall continue to support this fine effort," Bernard declared. A very special Dankeschön and Asante Sanya from Germany, Folco replied. Freuli Weihnachten. For everybody. Wonderful, wonderful story. Cargo Human Care. Look for it on the internet. Maybe the greatest, no, I know it's the greatest charity ever devised in the air cargo business, put up by people that are in our business to help other people. Something we all can be proud of. Merry Christmas. Flying Talkers 2021, brought to you today by the people of ATC, from Frankfurt, Germany to the world, with offices open everywhere. ATC is the reliable general services and sales agent, GSSA, for top-rated customer satisfaction. If your airline is delivering service excellence, chances are ATC represents them somewhere. There's no secret sauce here. ATC's extraordinary expertise and service ethic harkens back to a time when results-driven cargo executives were the product of a lifetime of best practices and great training. So contact ATC, one world, one great air cargo GSSA. ATC Aviation can be contacted at atc.aviation.com and tell them Flying Talker sent you. That's atc-aviation.com. So we're talking about outreach, as an air cargo industry, that's a great thing to do. Sometimes I wonder, what does the air cargo industry do to think about itself? We see the airlines that are gone and the companies that have disappeared from our midst, people that have gone away. And it's like, well, after that happens, that's great. So we're going to not accept that. We're going to try and make a record of everybody we've known in our 50 years on this beat. As many people as we can. You know, you can't remember them all, but I mean, I just had a reality check as I looked across the hard stand last week and saw the Seaboard Building 260 at JFK was being demolished. And the last time I saw the name Seaboard was at the airport. It was on a container over at the old Lufthansa terminal. Lufthansa was gone too. It was one of those cans that was sort of sitting on the side of the building. It must have been about 5 years ago. I also remember they named a circle over near the old Seaboard headquarters after Seaboard World on the other side of the airport, on the passenger side of the airport. Of course, the sign was on its edge falling into the snow, but I'm hoping maybe they fixed it in the meantime. Now, I looked at this old building being knocked down, you know, been empty for a number of years, would sit there and be just completely empty. But it really is a historic beginning of modern air cargo structure, and it hosted technically the first cargo B747 service. Seaboard managed to beat out Lufthansa by a couple of days or a couple of hours. They were neck and neck. Of course, Lufthansa opened up the big automated terminal plug-in, the nose loader, and the whole deal. But Seaboard wasn't any slouch crossing the Atlantic, and it was big competition for everybody. No, I'm not trying to save an old unused building in an airport. Although in saving the Marine Air Terminal at LaGuardia, if you can believe that, is Air Cargo News, the original one here in America that started in 1975, and I had begun at the cargo paper in 1972. Anyway, by 1980, when we saved the Marine Terminal, we started a trend that, among other things, and this is as a cargo publication later, actually saved the TWA building at Kennedy a couple of years ago that was turned into a hotel. Well, that's another story. We created that atmosphere. Trumpeting progress at the biggest airport for the greatest city in the world, whenever you open up your mouth and say something about that place, is a very dicey proposition. Kindly consider and never forget, all traffic at JFK International Airport comes and goes the airport like toothpaste being squeezed through the tiny opening in the tube, or that tube is better known as the Van Wyck Expressway. It's the world's longest horizontal parking lot. It goes on forever between JFK and the RFK Bridge, used to be called the Triborough Bridge, and maybe half forever till you get to the Long Island Expressway, which is how most people go into Manhattan. Until someone comes up with a better overland alternative, or launches a cargo water taxi, or comes up with something better than the pathetic and nearly total useless roadway system in and out of JFK, building for air cargo, passengers, or even a hot dog stand at that airport is more like a dead heat on a merry-go-round than anything else. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey ought to be ashamed of itself. The people that are there now stand on the shoulders of some pretty important people and decent people. Maurice Sloan, Bob Aronson, Tim Pierce, Vinnie Bonaventura is over at Newark. Had a lot of great people that worked for that company, that worked to put that company into the airport and airline cargo business. Where have they gone? You know, like that Paul Simon song, "Where Have You Gone, Joe DiMaggio?" Seaboard World Building 260 demolition, after the building sat empty for years, I'll tell you some Seaboard people. John Mahoney taught everybody air cargo. Bill Bosch, Dick Jackson, Jim Larson, Steve Moran, Vince Chabral, Peter George, Peter Walter, and others in a group. All guys, by the way, right? Well, that was the cargo business back in the day. In a group that post-World War II formed America's air cargo airline across the Atlantic. You know, when you think about it, today, as air cargo has more and more females involved in the business, you wonder if some of the things that happened in the early years, we certainly would have been better served having our business have a better balance between men and women working in it for all the different sensibilities and for all the right reasons a long time ago. I suppose in one sense it's good that there's new construction at the airport, that somebody stepped in after all those cargo companies at Newark and SAS that packed up bag and baggage from Kennedy and went to Newark as the first international airline there in the 80s. All these airlines that were in the cargo sheds over at Newark Airport earlier this year were issued an order that they could not refuse, and they departed Newark Airport after the Port Authority gave most of the rental space without warning to Amazon. So, of course, somebody's going to put up a building. So, somebody's going to find a factory. But guess what? Somebody else is going to find airports like Philadelphia and other airports up and down the seaboard more than willing to accommodate the cargo business. That's one of the great advantages of the internet. Put stories up in the internet and they start to become collateralized with other people that are doing research or something, and they put that story up and you get a pretty decent history of what's been going on. So the reality check is Seaboard World is gone. It's been gone a long time. Kennedy Airport is never going to go anywhere until it figures out its road service. Yeah, there's a demand. Of course there's a demand. Just take a look at what they did at LaGuardia Airport. Everybody seems to be thrilled. What a beautiful airport they've put up. Except they put it in the wrong place. They could have gone across the way into College Point, put up all their reception area, all those mammoth parking garages, all those customer service things you need to get in and out of the airport, and then put in a light rail system and used all of that tiny 700 acres or so over at LaGuardia, runways and all, to just be a reception area, put in some nice restaurants. That airport had a great history of having fabulous restaurant addresses there. People used to go to the airport to sit outside and watch the airplanes come and go. I understand that's over for now, especially when the wind is blowing the wrong way off of Bowery Bay. Yeah, we started out with a Christmas story. I tell you what, let's come back with another Christmas story. Forgive me, I go on. But I care about you. And I care about the airports. And I care about air cargo. This is Jeffrey Arend. Flying Talkers podcast brought to you today by your friends at Pay Cargo, the better way to pay and to save time and money. You see, Pay Cargo has a better idea. By simplifying the payment process to more than 3,000 vendors, cargo moves faster. Pay Cargo saves you time and money by expediting important data and funds to ensure rapid release of your cargo. Maybe best of all, you get the time to build your business assured that the Pay Cargo team is with you, providing trackable, tangible results every step of the way. So why wonder why most shipments in the Pay Cargo system get released in as little as 1 hour? Go to www.paycargo.com and explore a whole new way to pay and get paid. Pay Cargo offers flexible payment options and also available credit lines. And as the number one online platform in the world for cargo payments, www.paycargo.com can offer you a level of service financial expertise, and connectivity that makes it easy to ship, click, and pay. So go to www.paycargo.com and get the rest of the story. Discover how PayCargo simplifies a better way to pay and get paid. And tell them Flying Talkers sent you. That's www.paycargo.com. Great people to do business with. This is Jeffrey Arend, and here we share a Christmas story. Every year around this time, we struggle to find new words to offer to our loyal Flying Typers and Flying Talkers audience. I'm not immune to the warm responses inspired by our annual Christmas story, and I would be posturing if I said it doesn't feel good to know it is so well received. However, the pressure mounts to say something new. Not to rehash the things you already know, but to provide some meaningful insight into our holiday gathering. As the family, the Arend family, you know we're a family business in an age when most companies yearn to proclaim that simply for the feel-good cachet it affords them. People love a good legacy story. And we just celebrated our 45th anniversary, and no, you can't put a price on that. In a world where everything has been commodified, you still can't buy time or experience. Our family, sprinkled with some help from our siblings, run the gamut of responsibilities to keep Air Cargo News, Flying Typers, and Flying Talkers current, interesting, successful, and engaging. And we do it every hour of the day, every day of the week, 365 days a year. This is not an exaggeration. Here we have our daughter, Florence, our managing editor, talk about her experiences. I return home for the holidays, and it's become routine to take a meeting in the living room with my father, whether it's pre-Thanksgiving dinner or post-New Year's Day celebrations. We have a drink and I'm warm by the fire, and I have a bonus of petting a very old, very sweet dog when these conversations occur. But we're still working. Time off isn't just a luxury, it's a frivolity. You don't become an industry leader lying on the bench. This year, I shook my brain like a snow globe to see what new holiday tradition might flutter to life and reveal itself in an interesting share. You know about the Santa decorating tradition, the pancakes, the sausages, the presents, the tree, the movies, the pizza parties. What can I tell you that you don't already know? For as cloistered as our family holidays can be, immediate family only, we routinely open up our proverbial doors to the Flying Talkers community. So what haven't you heard? My father talks about cargo a lot. He's the most dedicated, hardworking person I know in the cargo business, aside from my mother. If he isn't talking about air cargo, he's talking about music or aviation in general. But air cargo and its people are always on the forefront of his mind. The air cargo community is his great concern, and as anyone who has sat down with him for an interview well knows, once you get him started, it's best just to get out of his way and let him go. You'll learn more that way. Flossie Arend says, I'm not an aviation historian, and with my knowledge of air cargo barely breaks the surface of what my father knows. It can be difficult then to engage in the conversations he finds most comfortable. And here is where I tell you something about our Christmas that you don't know and haven't heard. Every year for the past several years, I've accompanied my parents to St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Forest Hills, Queens. I'm not remotely religious, but as an introvert, I enjoy the quiet, solemn atmosphere of the church, where the common greeting is a subtle head nod and a slow blink. I don't particularly follow the services either. I am admittedly there for the choir songs, the music, the ceremony, and the feeling of the environment. And I have a sneaking suspicion my father is there for the same reason. Built in the 13th century English Gothic style, St. Luke's has a high vaulted ceiling with wood beams that bend and bow inward like the hull of a ship flipped upside down. It's light, airy space filled with rich, dark wood and cool stone, and in the winter warmed and lit with dozens of candles, which hold sentry at various perches around the church, under windows, above aisles, and lined along golden candelabras. Flossie writes, "My father began attending St. Luke's when he first moved to New York from Chicago at the age of 11. It was at St. Luke's that he studied the Catechism for Children. Every year points to the uppermost peak of the church above the entrance and says, I studied in a small room called the garret above the narthex with other children who were all younger than me. The beloved butter cake we consume every year for Christmas began as a post-church treat for my father. Back then, it cost him 99 cents and was purchased from a German bakery on his walk back home every Sunday from church. My father's spiritual guide, as he calls him, was a dramatic, energetic man named Reverend Thomas Bloomquist, who once worked as a bat boy for the Brooklyn Dodgers at Ebbets Field in Brooklyn. According to my father, his confirmation as a member of St. Luke's did not result from his understanding of the doctrine, but rather because I knew so much about baseball. My father was confirmed with holy water drawn from a clamshell baptismal font that still sits on its pedestal today. It is so large, I would not be surprised to learn it originally birthed Venus on the shore," Flossie writes. In writing this, I learned that Reverend Bloomquist had served as a naval chaplain during World War II. He brought the giant clamshell from the South Pacific when he returned back home. 15 years old at his baptism, my father was taller than the Reverend, who had to reach up standing on his toes to pour the water over his head. To this day, my father claims baseball and butter cake made him as much a Christian as the baby Jesus, but I think it's a lot more than that. My father, ever loquacious, always filled with information he longs to share, grows solemn, respectfully, almost dutifully silent when we attend St. Luke's on Christmas Eve. Air cargo, the subject about which we have revolved our lives, retreats like a fog back out to sea as we moor ourselves to the choir's clarion call. Music, my father's other ever-present passion, rolls in and permeates our thoughts. We open our hymnals and sing along, and my father sings, and I imagine he remembers himself as a young boy learning about faith, community, and being one with others. I imagine this is where we learned how to create a space for the cargo community, where he learned to share and listen and quiet his mind. Every other day of the year, he animates with talk about lithium batteries, security, historic preservations, the cool chain, and the wonderful companies with which we formed a cargo family. Emotrans, ATC, Pay Cargo, Qatar Airways, Virgin Airlines, United Airlines, so many other ones. So many other wonderful people are part of our extended Air Cargo News, Flying Typers, Flying Talkers family. At St. Luke's, for the 2 hours we are singing and listening and clearing our thoughts, a cleaner, uncomplicated version of my father emerges. Once walked by himself home after lessons in the stony narthex above the modest but beautiful church that talked baseball with a kind of loving spiritual father, a boy who stopped at a German bakery for a 99-cent butter cake. That's him. On Christmas Eve, I share with my father something other than air cargo. We sit and listen to exquisite voices rising high to the rafters in harmony. We join our voices to the stream of sound and let it fill us as it fills the space. There's nothing quite like voices singing together, one of the darkest days of winter. It does something to the mind and body when you give yourself over to it. If you've ever wanted to feel at one with those around you, go somewhere. You can sing with people. We love you, Air Cargo, but I cherish the man who comes home from St. Luke's without the cargo monkey on his back. Jeffrey Aaron, patron saint of air cargo reportage, inevitably reemerges on the first day of the new year, but the cargo community should take comfort in his brief respite. It's what makes him so good at being a part of this community. It's the spirit that revives his passion for the year. That's it for our presentation today, and thanks for joining us. Thanks for your time, this time, until next time. This is Jeffrey saying, keep 'em flying, Air Cargo. And good night, Joe, wherever you are.
Speak, Lulu.
Good, Lulu.